Your youth, you can go, all our junior youth, and that'll be absolutely fantastic. But Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Last weekend I was in Sydney, and man, I tell you what, I'm glad that I live on the Gold Coast. I was driving through Sydney, through the inner streets of Sydney, and I thought, man, I'm so glad that I live here, the greatest place on planet Earth. My wife is from there, and so, you know, the Lord redeemed her and brought her here. And honestly, I was there driving through the inner streets of Sydney, and I thought, oh man, like I'm, you know, just forgot what it was like. And so spoke at a couple of different churches there, and just wonderful, and just, you know, got to see, you know, see lives change. In fact, I went to a night service last Sunday in a place called Blacktown. Anybody know where Blacktown is? Yeah. So some of you be glad that you've never gone there. And anyway, so I went to Blacktown and preached at a church there. And what was just wonderful for me was, you know, the church was probably 2/3 of the church were new members, and they were all my family members. And so they all came, and then at the end of the service, a whole bunch of my family members got saved, and I was just thankful to God. And and then they come into our conference, which is going to be pretty amazing. Yeah. So that's just fantastic. But it's always good to be home. So Romans chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading in verse 2. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." Everyone say transformed. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will." Everything about God's will is good, it is pleasing, and it is perfect. So this passage of scripture literally tells us, listen, don't you think like everyone else thinks. Don't behave like everyone else behaves. I mean, you know, we've got all this craziness with toilet paper. Honestly, craziness with toilet paper. If we stocked up on Jesus like we stocked up on toilet paper, Australia would be saved. Come on, how many believe that this morning? Come on, so it says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We are transformed by renewing our mind. We are transformed by not thinking the way that everybody else thinks. We are transformed by thinking the way that God thinks. You know, I believe with all my heart, let the world be the world and let the church be the church. But let's not have the church acting like the world. Come on, because we are people of faith. In the church, I remember Pastor Sam Evans was here a little while ago, and she made the statement. She says, "The church is filled with unbelieving believers." And we must make sure that as believers, we are believers. The church must be filled with believing believers. Touch someone, or don't touch someone, talk to someone next to you and say, "I'm a believer. I'm a believer." So do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The great thing about us and great thing about God's plan for us is that we already know how it's going to end. We already know the end. We already know the story. We already know that God's told us that you're going to have, you know, tribulations in the world, but do not lose hope, and, you know, have hope because you will overcome. So we already know that all of these things are going to happen. So therefore, we can come back to God's word and have our minds renewed by his word. So there are six things that I want to give to you this morning. The title of my message this morning is Facing Storms with Confidence. You can face every storm in life with confidence. Touch someone next to you and say, I got to stop saying that. Turn the person next to you and say, confidence. Confidence. Man, this is messing with me today. Far out. I'm married to a person who's kissy, huggy, touchy, you know, like, you know. Anyway, let's move on. But this morning I want to give you six things. Six things about how we can respond. Six things about how we can face storms with confidence. Number one, practice leadership, not reactionship. Practice leadership, not reactionship. As we can see all of these crazy things happening around the world, and, you know, things happening in different countries, and even just recently that, you know, they put a limit on the number of people that can gather together. Well, in times like that, let's not, you know, come from a position of reaction. In other words, let's not respond with fear. Oh, I'm afraid, you know. No. We're believers. We don't need to respond like that. We can respond with leadership. Everyone say leadership. So our job is not to react to what's happening. Our job is to lead people to light in the middle of what's happening. Right now in our society, people are just, you know, afraid. And what a great time for the church to rise up and to stand up and say, hey, God is for you. God's never left you. He's always been in your corner and he's always been on your side. So for us, let's not practice reactionship, but let's practice leadership. We must be people who lead through times of trouble. We must be people who lead through storms. We must be people who stand up and say, no, it's all going to work out fine. I'm not saying we underreact, but let's not overreact. Come and practice leadership. Everyone say leadership. Number two, the second thing that we must do in the middle of times like this is that we must embrace sacrifice, not selfishness. Sacrifice. Everyone say sacrifice, not selfishness. See, you know, I mean, Ratini went to the supermarket yesterday, and when she went to the supermarket, she went to buy some rice, and they said, you can only buy one bag of rice. So, yeah, that's right. And we're a rice family, so like, man, that's going to last us like one day. And so we, you know, and so so she said, you know, they made a limitation on the amount of rice you can buy. Why do they do that? Because a whole bunch of people responded out of selfishness. Went and bought a whole bunch of, you know, bought out all the toilet paper. You know, I mean, yesterday we were running around trying to find sanitizers, hand sanitizers. We couldn't find any hand sanitizers anywhere. What's happened is that people have adopted this, you know, this hoarding sort of fearful mentality and bought out all, I mean, bought out enough toilet paper to last the entire year. Why would you need that? And by the way, why would you need to buy toilet paper anyway? You know, so what's happened is that a whole bunch of people have adopted selfishness instead of sacrifice. And for us as the church, in times of crisis, is when we must show sacrifice. Mother Teresa's legacy wasn't built on hoarding months of supplies for herself. She didn't go around and buy all the food out so that she could, you know, hoard it for herself and feed people. No, 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 no. Mother Teresa's legacy was built on the fact that when people had nothing, she still gave everything she had away. When she had nothing, she still gave it all away. And so for us, we must be people who embrace sacrifice. Everyone say sacrifice. Embrace sacrifice, not selfishness. Number three, when it comes to times like this, we must gather wise counsel. Gather wise counsel. You know, if you took your counsel from Facebook, my Lord. Honestly, if you took your counsel from Facebook, well, you know, you really are in trouble. And the truth is, many people are. But this week, I mean, I'm grateful because in our environment, we've got some great counsel. We have the leaders of a movement. We're part of the ACC Church. And so we have leaders of the movement who are also, you know, who are giving us counsel. We've got a gentleman who's part of our Sanctuary Cove campus who's a doctor. He owns a bunch of medical centers. So we've been having conversations with him. So what we've been doing is just having wise counsel, getting wise people around us to have those conversations so that we are not driven by fear, but so that we are driven by faith. So gather wise counsel. Who are the people that are advising you on what you need to do in response to this? I mean, right now, you know, they're having conversations around what to do with schools and all that kind of thing. And I saw even on Facebook, people are asking each other questions. Well, that's, you know, asking people who don't know the answers is not a smart thing to do. You know what I'm saying? But instead, you know, go to the authorities, go to the school itself and all that kind of thing. But gather wise counsel. Number four, for us as believers, point to hope. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. We don't need to, you know, caught off guard, or we don't need to be sort of, you know, taking in what other people are saying and speaking. We can have hope. We can point to hope. Everyone say hope. Look to three people around you and say hope, 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 hope. Yeah, yeah. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future. Right now, people are looking for hope. They're looking for, you know, they're looking for answers. You know what I discovered? The light shines the brightest when it's darkest. And so right now, in the time of darkness, let's be shining the light, pointing to hope. Number five, stop the spin. Stop the spin. Let's be people who are not buying into the spin. Let's stop the spin. You know, when people's anxieties rise up, let's minister to that. And let's speak into that. And let's make sure that we're not spinning on the spin. so much, you know, I mean, you know, the thing about social media is that information gets out so quickly. The problem is that often that information is wrong. You know, and now there's, you know, for the media anyway, their goal is not to be right. Their goal is to be first. And so we've got to be people, make sure that we're listening to truth and we stop the spin. Amen. You receive that this morning? Amen. And number six, we must look for opportunity in the midst of all obstacles. What opportunities? What opportunities are there right now in our families? What opportunities right now are there in our community? What opportunities are there right now to see God move in power? Look for opportunities in the midst of all obstacles. I know this to be absolutely true, that when the church rises up and be the church, when the church stand and believers stand in faith, then God gets the glory and others will look to the church and see that God has the answers and God is for us and God is not against us. But in the middle of every challenge, we must look for opportunity in the midst of every obstacle. Nehemiah, if you could come and join me today. Recently, I was on a plane to Sydney, in fact, last weekend. And I don't know about you, but when I fly on planes, I like to fly on big ones. You know, I like the kind of planes where I can't see the pilot. You know, I like the kind of planes where it's like, you know, I like the pilot to be old. I just do. I don't like young pilots. Nothing personal, but, I want a pilot with a bit of gray hair. That's the kind of pilot I like. So I like big planes, and I like old pilots. And so, on this particular, on this flight last week, it was crazy. I was there, and I was in this flight. And what happened was, it was a small plane. I don't like small planes. And it was so small that I could actually see through the cockpit. So I could actually see the pilot. And then, it's a small plane and I can see the pilot and the stewardess is a nice lady and she's coming up and down. And then what happens is we're going through turbulence. And in the middle, I don't like planes for starters. And then you're in turbulence. So the plane's shaking and I'm like, whoa, I'm freaking out a little bit. So there I am on the plane. It's a small plane. Planes are not built for Polynesians. The way the seating arrangements are, they're not built for, Polynesians, because you kind of have like fights for the little middle armrest. Anyway, so there we are. I'm on this plane and the plane goes into turbulence. And then in the middle of turbulence, it's like I start to freak out and I'm looking around and, other people are starting to freak out. But as I'm in the middle of this, the thing that I'm looking to is I'm looking to the front to see what the pilot and the stewardess are doing. It's one thing for me to freak out. That's okay. I'm a novice in these things, and I'm just on this plane, and I put my trust in them. So, I'm freaking out. Person next to me is freaking out. That's not awesome, but it's okay, because when I look to the front, as long as the pilot's not freaking out, as long as the stewardess is not freaking out, I'm good. I could be panicking. But as long as they're not panicking, I'm fine. I put my trust in the fact that they're not losing their cool. I put my trust in the fact that they're not losing their mind. I put my trust in the fact that they know where we're going and they know that this turbulence is only momentary because we're going to arrive at the destination. But boy, I'm sitting there and I'm watching out for this stewardess. If that stewardess started running out with panic on her face, I don't have to know what's going on. If she's freaking out, then I'm going to immediately freak out. That makes sense? If she starts to lose her mind, I'm immediately going to lose my mind. I have no idea what's going on, but if she loses her cool, I'm going to lose my cool too. What I want you to know, that in the world right now, you and I are the pilots. In the world right now, you and I are the stewardesses. And the world is looking to the stewardesses and the pilots as to how they should respond. And if we're losing our mind, then they're going to lose their mind too. But if we keep our faith, but if we keep pointing to hope, if we make sure that our trust is in the Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, that if we look to Him in times of trial and we trust in Him, then we know that this plane is only going through some momentary turbulence. But we're going to get through the turbulence in the name of Jesus. I said we're going to get through the turbulence in the name of Jesus. We're going to get through the turbulence and we're going to arrive at the destination in the name of Jesus. So let's not lose our mind. Let's not lose everything. And see, let's face our storms with confidence in the name of Jesus. You receive that this morning? Amen. Let me just pray for you. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for every person in this room. And I thank you, God, that our hope is in you, that our trust is in you, that our faith is in you. That, Lord God, in the middle of every challenge and every storm, we can look to you as the source of our strength. We can look to you as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There's never been any surprises to you, and there never will be any surprises to you. But instead, we can put our hope in you in the name of Jesus. With every eye closed, every head bowed. Maybe here in this room today, maybe you say, I don't know Jesus this morning. Maybe you're here in this room today, you're saying, I'm not right with God. We're right here in this place. I'd love to pray with you. Or maybe there are others here and you're like, yeah, there have been some things going on this week that have really rocked my confidence. And I've allowed things just to kind of, or things have just happened that, you know, they've got my eyes off God. We're just with every eye closed, every head bowed. That's you. I'd love to pray with you this morning. So if that's you right across this room, you don't know Jesus, you're not right with God, or maybe you're saying, yeah, pray for me because I need the Lord to touch me afresh. Then right across this room, if that's you, when I count to three, lift your hand to heaven. One, you don't know Jesus. Two, you're not right with God. You need God to touch you afresh. Three, just lift your hands right across this room. I'll see it and you can put it down. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in your church. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you are a beacon of hope, that you're a banner of light. Thank you, Lord God, that you're for us and not against us. I thank you, God, for all that you're about to do in our lives and in this church. We thank you, God, that we can face storms with confidence. We can face every adversity. We can face every challenge. We thank you that you're with us, that you're for us, and that you're not against us. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I want you to stand to your feet and we're going to worship God one last time. Come on, would you just close your eyes? Reach your hands out to heaven this morning. God, we thank you that you're so good. God, we thank you that you're for us. God, we thank you that you're with us. God, we thank you.
Oh God, you're so good. God, you're so good.
God.
Oh God, you're so good. You're so good to
you're so good.
Oh God, you're so good. Oh God, you're so good. Oh God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Sing it one more time, church. He's so good.
Finish by declaring over our church. Come on, we're going to declare that we are blessed, that we are called, that we are healed, and we are whole. Come on.